amen to that, Jesus. We just thankful that this room right here is free because your spirit is being prayed up right now in this song, even to you, to say, Lord, where your spirit is, there is freedom. And so come in this place, clear the air in this room, that through the work, the death, resurrection, ascension of your son, Jesus, Lord, the enemy has no claim here over our life, but the word of God can speak to our hearts through your spirit in this place, setting us free in every way that we can be free. We live in that. We take place in that this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Myself now. You can't run away, 'cause your scars shining like a dark star. Yeah, your wounds are where the light shines through. So let's go there to that place where we're singing these broken prayers, where the light shines. Shines through. Oh, 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 oh. It's where the light shines through. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's called Switchfoot. They're an old school band. If you've heard of Switchfoot before, that's Switchfoot and a little acoustic version in the library there. The wound is where the light shines through. The cracks in our life is where the glory of God can shine. What a great song. This band's been around for a while. They have had multiple platinum deals, and they've traveled. Some of you guys remember Dare You to Move and some other songs they've put out in the past. This one came a little different. The video's pretty simple, and I found some really cool photos that went with this. And the song in and of itself, you find yourself on another planet. You feel like an astronaut. In other words, you're not who you feel you should be. You're on the way, but you feel like you're posing. There's this guy on the outside, and then there's the real you on the inside. And I love some of these pictures because they just kind of spell out, you know, on a cardboard box here. It's almost like, hey, could use some cash, you know, any food available. Almost like you see for someone that's transient or in a homeless state that's advertising. But this is their personality. This is their character. This is their integrity that's on the box here. This is what I stand for. And I love what Constance read. Didn't you love that? If you were listening and it was so good, you had to listen. There was no microphone. And it allowed you to hear the story of someone who says, this is where I'm at. This is how I feel of my present condition and where I'm at before God. This is how I feel. This is how I assess my situation. And then she turned the corner to say, this is how I feel. This is clearly the situation, but this is how God assesses me and my situation. This is what he wants to do with my story and my broken pieces. And doggone it, I'm surrendering all of it to you, and I want you to do something with it. Isn't that cool? Oh, man, just like stained glass, there's so many different pieces and things that make up the beauty of our life. Constance, thank you for that. And my friends, I tell you this morning that if you will fill this house with praise, okay? And it's hard getting this 10:30 crowd up and moving around. I'll just be flat honest with you. He'll fill your heart with glory. This band's got a tough job in the mornings. Reed, you got the toughest job in the morning, too. It's not easy on Sunday morning, but this is how it works. You look for the glory in each face. At the person sitting next to you, there's something about what God is doing, and he can use someone next to you, or he's already working. Has God done something good to you this week where you would give him praise?
Amen.
All right. You mean it? I hope so. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, all right? It's not about you, so just let it out anyway. It's all his work, and it's all about him. Be afraid to let God have your praise in any shape or form. Look at Scripture this morning in Mark chapter 8. You've heard the feeding of the 5,000, right? We've all heard that. How many were there really possibly there? Anyone know? Yeah, it was a huge number. Feeding of the 5,000, right? When you add the women, the children, you had, you know, parents there, moms, dads, grandparents possibly, uncles. Who knows? It was a large number. What did he feed them with? Anyone know that? It was just a small portion of something. What was it? Yeah, fish and bread. Good. We can go down to the Green Pier and feed all of Avalon if we do this right with a $12 platter. Five loaves and what? Yeah. Did you know there was another feeding? There was. It's in Mark 8 here. This is interesting, but there's another feeding, not just the 5,000. There's another feeding of about 4,000, and we know that number's a little higher too. We're looking at the second feeding here. It's pretty interesting, Mark chapter 8, verse 6 through 21, and he told the crowd, please sit down on the ground. Jesus just takes control. Have a seat. You guys are so excited. I can just see it this morning. Look, you're seated. Look at all this enthusiasm this morning. Have a seat. Okay, good. So they're calming down. When he had taken the seven loaves, okay, and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples. And he said, distribute these to the people. They did so. Verse 7, they had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also. And he told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate. They were satisfied. Wouldn't you love to have a meal prepared by Jesus? Oh, man. Sushi like none other. It'd be amazing. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls, okay, extra, broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. And after he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples. And here's where it all goes down, my friends. This is the storm that you never saw the forecast for inside the boat with the dudes. Here it is, okay? He got into the boat with the disciples, went to the region of Dalmatia, and the Pharisees, they all began to question Jesus. Here it comes. They wanted to test him, so they asked him for a sign from heaven. My friends, as if something big has not already happened, I need more to go on. All right, we had five loaves and two fish and just fed almost 15,000 people, and then another seven loaves and, you know, we need a sign. Interesting. He sighed deeply. This is Jesus. And he said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign is going to be given to it. Forget it. Then he left them. Got back in the boat. Crossed to the other side. Was Jesus a little disappointed on that one? Can you read into this? Can you read between the lines on this? This is unreal. After all the feeding, after all the multiple baskets left over, Jesus, we need a sign. I tell you what, I don't know what's going on with this generation. There will be no sign. I'm in the boat. I'm out of the boat. I'm out of here. Disciples literally were with him and forgotten to bring bread, except for the one loaf, and they crossed to the other side. Okay, they had one loaf in the boat. One loaf in the boat. Doesn't that sound like a band name? One loaf in the boat. Interesting. Be careful. Now Jesus is calming down, and this comment, here it goes. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees. Woo! And that of that dude named Herod, watch out. And they discussed this with one another, and they said, it's because we have no bread. That's what it is. We forgot all the loaves. We only have one. Jesus, once again, here we, wouldn't you love to be in this boat, just be a fly on the wall of the oar or whatever, I don't know, but you're in the boat and you're checking this out. Here he goes. He just turns around and says, why are you talking about having no bread? You guys still don't get it? This is a tough group of guys, a very tight group, fellowship, band of brothers, whatever you want to call them. They're close. You can think and hear what someone's thinking. You ever been close with somebody where just their mannerisms alone, you're like, I know exactly what you're going to say, right? And you finish the sentence for them. Doesn't that drive you nuts? Well, in this case, Jesus is Jesus. He's got God going that for him. You know, he's got that. He knows what they're saying. He knows what they're thinking. And he turns around and he just says, man, do you not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do your eyes fail to see here and ears but fail to hear? Don't you remember when I broke five loaves for 5,000 and many basketfuls of pieces? How many did you guys pick up? What'd they say?
12. Yeah.
12. Then I broke seven loaves for another 4,000 people. How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? Seven. He said to them, do you still not get it? What a story. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, I'm not going to read all of that, but there's a great passage here, and the theme is the hope for the mountains of Israel. Hope meaning that these guys were like, don't get it, okay? Hope that these people would bring it together, all these broken pieces that would be restored. Ezekiel 36 and 37. The reference should be in your outline there, okay? Potential in the valley of bones, Ezekiel calls it. All the parts were there, but they were disassembled. Jesus has been dealing with this on and on and on with these guys. Let me guess, still happens to this day. Where even a 2x4, we wouldn't get it if it hit us upside our head. Romans 8:28 says this, our final scripture of the day. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Anyone know this verse by heart? Anyone know this verse? Yeah. And for those who, what? Right. They're called. They love him. They know him. They've received him. And they follow him. There's purpose behind their life. Guess what? I don't care how tragic the situation may feel this morning, I bring good news. All things work together for good for those of you who fit those categories. I love God. I love him. I want to follow him. I'm not perfect, but I feel called according to his purpose. I want him. I want more of him. Is there anyone here that can say amen to that this morning? Yeah. Man, let me tell you something. God sighs deeply with the Pharisees. I'm not going to comment on this because I know that God sighs deeply to my response as well. Okay? I mean, just throw myself under the bus here. I'm going to do it. And this passage is about the yeast, all right? For those of you who are just tuning in this morning and your breakfast is wearing off, yeast of self-righteousness. This is the junk that gets in the way. A good old-fashioned word for that might be pride. We don't deal with that now, do we? Gets in the way. It's gross, like the photo. We have no bread. Can you imagine being the guy to say that after he just fed over 20,000 people, counting both those feedings? That was unreal. This is like a pastor saying to his staff, God's going to speak to us today. And the staff member says simply, I think the pastor needs a new microphone. Doesn't make sense. In the time of Mark 8, they did not have a view of the big picture. And I'm going to be flat honest with you, my friends. You get the big picture. They did not have it. You get it. You are outside the boat. You're outside the fishbowl. And you are looking in. And you can see this. You can see the bigger picture. And in this instance, the disciples are completely misconstruing what Jesus is trying to tell them. If you want to know how God can use you to do big things in your life, my friends, the nutshell of this sermon today, and I love that image, is you got to piece it together. Look for the indicators. What are the indicators? What could he be up to? And it may seem like total crap right now. Everything is hitting the fan. Everything's hitting the fan. Could God still be up to something in the midst of the stuff hitting the fan? I've always thought that God wanted me to do something big, even when I was little. And God has put a sense of ambition also in you, okay? Even if this ambition doesn't make sense, doesn't work, where it has yet to be contained, explained, or even targeted in your life, he's put that in you. There's also this perception that we're broken people and that God wants you to do something big for him. There's always that tendency to only focus on the missing pieces. Listen to me. I don't care if you're a teenager in this room. This applies to you. When God has something big that he's stirring in your heart, we focus on the brokenness that we have and our broken pieces, don't we? We do that. We're looking at this 10:30 service back April 30th, 2017. What do we want that's different about this service? To help reach those that are unchurched and unsaved. And you know what happened? We invited many people in. There were about 14 people that came into the house. I put a dry erase board down, and none of them went to church. They literally were unchurched. They had left. Some of them had been, but they left. I put down there all these reasons. Why don't you go to church? I want to see it. And I started writing them down. What is it that turns you off? Or what is it that has turned you off? Or what is it you're scared of? Tell me what's going on. And then I brought this stuff back to the church here to say, guys, we got work to do. Take a look at these things here. They're legit. Too legit to quit. We can't stop. We've got to go after these folks. And why does this board look like this? And why are we ignoring these reasons? You know what our focus was on? The knee-jerk reaction. New service. Some new ideas. Being flat honest with you. Our human, and this is me too, okay? Lack of money. It's going to cost more money if we make some of these changes. Lack of resources. We don't have all the answers, so maybe a lack of wisdom there. How about a lack of organization? Who are you going to do all that with? Who are these people? What are their ages? These folks that are serving, here's the big one that hit me. Are they even members of the church? In Mark 8, we see the promise behind a problem. I want you to look at this carefully. There's literally limited perspective. And the problem of selective attention. Write those in if you have sermon notes this morning. I feel like one of the 12 dudes in the boat. You just fed I don't know how many people, and I'm hungry, and I'm like, show us a sign, create some food. Just so focused on my needs. Y'all tracking with me this morning? This is an amazing discovery that just sits. After the big feeding was another big feeding, and then these guys had the audacity. Man, I'd get in a boat and cross without them too. As a result of this limited perspective and selective attention, the disciples only see what's in front of them, merely to determine what they don't have. Most of us are like that. Wouldn't you agree? We are. I'm not coming on too strong. You got to admit this stuff. Pastors can admit this stuff. Staff, school administration, even. There's so much that's there. Most of us are like that, where we just turn around and we're tuned in to what we don't have versus what we do have. I remember, once again, that great leadership movie that I love, Ron Howard put out called Apollo 13. Some of you guys remember seeing it. And all these guys get back and they're in this room and they're all assembled and everything that could be going wrong with this ship is going on. And all these lights and the beeps and it just looks like these guys are never going to survive. And this one guy just pops up and he just says, what do we have on the ship that's good? Consider the fact that God has formed a Jesus team. Instead of looking at a shortage, people that may have been passed over. One that the first thing Jesus did in his ministry is he pieced his team together. I love how he put his team together. Isn't that cool? What if he rounded up his team with the help of a consulting firm? you know, just to be on the litigious safe side here, okay? There's a consulting firm, and what if this consulting firm evaluated every one of the people that Jesus put on his team? Wouldn't that be interesting? What would they say in a memo? Here's something I found online. You're going to love this, okay? To Jesus, son of Joseph, woodcrafter and carpenter, from Jordan Management Consultants Incorporated. Subject, Jesus' team. Dear sir, thank you for submitting the resumes on the 12 men that you've picked for management positions in your ministry. All of them have now taken a battery of tests using our computer system and have participated in personal interviews with our psychological and aptitude consultants. Deep breath there. Good. Okay. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background education or vocational aptitude for the type of enterprises that you're undertaking. So you guys are going, I don't even understand half those words. That's okay. They do not have a team concept, and we would recommend that you continue your search for people with experience and managerial capability. Simon Peter, emotionally unstable and has occasional fits of temper. Andrew, absolutely no qualities to be a leader. James and John, place personal interests above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude and could undermine morale on your team. We feel duty bound to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted from the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings on both. They both have scored very high on manic depressant scales. However, one of your candidates shows great potential. He's a man of ability, resourcefulness, been keen in his business mind, and has contacts in high places. Highly motivated, ambitious, responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot for the position of controller. As for all the other candidates, our assessments are self-explanatory. We wish you a very successful new venture here. Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. Aren't you glad that God sees potential that's not seen by people? Holy cow. Consultant firm, whatever. Praise God that we're all called, but we're not qualified. Yeah. Despite all of our proclivities, my word for the week, the things you find yourself doing, despite all the things, God picked us anyway, and he has turned around and been asked by so many, for so many decades, remove the yeast in my life. Get rid of that self-centeredness. Give me a spot on the team, coach. Jesus comes into our life. This is in your notes. Not to change us, but primarily to change the way we see him, to change the way we see ourselves. Track with me, Timothy crowd, listen, to change the way we see potential, how we see potential in ourselves, how we see potential in our circumstances. Anybody awake this morning? Amen. To see these things differently. Sometimes you need someone else to see your potential. Oh, my gosh, I had some people pray over me about a week ago, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't even know who these people are. They don't know me. I don't know them. And God just spoke right through them and just gave me this kick in the rear like an M80 for Jesus underneath that just sent me flying going, potential, potential, potential. But here's what you got to deal with. The reason that you lose sight of your potential is you're spending all day dealing with your problems. We're very familiar with our junk. We know our junk, don't we? Is there an amen here? Say this. You can't. One more time. You can't. Scout yourself. You can't scout yourself. Not scalp yourself. You can't scout yourself. This is not a good idea. Switchfoot was just singing it, man. The wound is where the light shines through. You got to admit the wounds. You got to get to that spot. Consider all the fact that an external scout may not see things the way you see them either. Consider this for my basketball fans in the room. Stephen Curry, written by a former NBA coach in 2009, he wrote 15 perceived weaknesses. about this guy. Not a true point guard, is what they said about him. Questionable shot selection, out of control at times. Literally, he had some lateral quickness, the ability to defend at multiple positions, good defender, versatility at multiple positions. Limited upside, though, and the college system that he's under right now, very difficult to evaluate. They also said he's average in his athleticism, kind of short. He's only 6'2 at the time of evaluation. And average wingspan, average weight, frail frame was actually used by the NBA assessment and relies too heavily on the outside shot. Some of you are reading the wrong report regarding your potential. This is tricky. Even Steph Curry's dad agreed with some of these critical assessments, like, my son in the NBA, are you serious? Love this photo right there. However, what they did not see, guy's potential. By the way, he's an FCA rep like crazy. This guy loves Jesus. He loves him and speaks about Jesus. You can YouTube anything, man. He's going to tell you about Jesus. When you see your weaknesses in little pieces, one by one, it can be overwhelming. When you see the whole package together, not just Peter, not just Andrew, not just Thomas, we see that Jesus did not need to get perfect pieces. What Jesus needed was to get these people that were literally like this, and they could fit together with these pieces that were broken. They could fit together. By the way, Steph Curry, 7th overall round 1 draft pick, pronounced Stephen. Wardell Stephen Curry II, Steph, baby-faced assassin, Chef Curry, the human torch, Threesus. Is there anybody in the house? Billy, we got something there. Brian, are you with me? All right. Guy just drains them. 6-time All-Star, 2015-2016 scoring champ, league champion for the same years, 3-time NBA champ, 6-time All-NBA. All rookie, 2009-2010. Hello, 2 MVPs from the league that wrote him off in the very beginning. Eat my dust. Some say to me, Andrew, where do you get the teams for church? What? How's it work? And I can't answer a question like this. 2 weeks ago, I put out a piece of paper, just said, hey, we got some needs, man. We're firing up some stuff, and a lot of you guys have agreed to kick in here at the church and help. Here's our needs. 6 people signed up to be our greeting team, and they were working the very next Sunday. God put them to work, man. Is that not cool? God does that. We got to let you know what's going on, but God does that. I didn't push your pin. I didn't beg Constance to come up here this morning. Like all great teams, it's formed and pieced together by God. Say this again. It was pieced together. Yeah. You really think that God is not going to do what he already did for Jesus? I love those dudes. I'd ask for food too if I was in the boat. I'm hungry. I know you just fed like a billion people, but I'm hungry. Can we have a sign like food? There's no prepackaged team warehouse. Avalon Community Church and Singing Waters, we're not calling over at the warehouse on the mainland for prepackaged teams to come over here and set. Like all great teams, it's formed by God. It's hard to recognize if a team was put together or how it was assembled. Only God knows. Like most things in life, things come together only when imperfect pieces are put together. That's in your notes. It's not about what you don't have. It's about what you're going to do with what you got. Don't you remember when Jesus multiplied the loaves and he just took these things? When it comes in pieces, it's easier to see the big picture. Anyone awake this morning? I like that. You just get the big picture, you're going to freak out. Just give me some indicators. I'll just take enough. By the way, if Jesus had built his entire team merely on the pretty picture, it would have had nothing but Pharisees on it. Can you imagine Jesus and the 12 Pharisees hanging out? Jesus left the pretty picture. Jesus left the religious lingo. He threw that religious spirit out the door, and that's why they crucified him. I don't want to hang out with you guys. You're a bunch of posers. I'm looking for the real deal, these people that are not like this. And the Pharisees were not bad people. They just had limited perspectives, okay? All of us are sinners. All of us can be like Pharisees. The bottom line is their perspective was limited, and he's like, that's not where we're going. You're all about duty and regimented stuff. I'm all about freedom, and it's about me. And you don't accept it, so I'm moving on. They made a big deal out of the little laws, and they shut the door to the kingdom for the people that had broken pieces. So Jesus said, you know what? I'd rather work with the broken pieces versus someone who's pretending to be perfect. This is why he built this team outside of the Pharisees, and it drove them nuts. He built a team on their potential. Ezekiel 36 and 37 had to see the potential in the valley of bones. The parts were all there, but like the body of Christ, they were very much disassembled and everywhere. Consider the situation in Mark 8. They're on a boat with a person that's called the bread of life. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. And they're worried about a lack of bread. And after Jesus had performed all these miracles, the focus on what they did not have at the expense of recognizing who they were with, what Jesus is capable of. Jesus connects the pieces by pointing them back to the event where Jesus had the ability to fulfill the promise. Perhaps the issue isn't that the pieces are there, but that they haven't been put together yet. Consider David hanging out in the field. All of his brothers are trying to get fitted for a crown. The dude wasn't even in the lineup. Yet he had great potential. God wants to change how you see provision. God's a provider. He has the ability to make a way. When we had wrongfully concluded there was no way. You can't take me. I've got so much dirt. There's so much junk. There is no way. Many of us have seen God bless us by his grace and in a manner that's well beyond what you've experienced otherwise. Don't hate yourself. Don't hate yourself. If you can't be all the things to everybody at once. I've been there before. Notice how these things come in pieces. Life comes in pieces. You got to build it. Legos, right? We were talking about this morning. We're spring cleaning, and we got this box of Legos. And, oh, man, the thing's going to fall out one day, and I know I'm going to step on every one of them, okay? Bottom line here is if you just look at the box, you're like, oh, my gosh, right? Take some time and begin somewhere, like a puzzle, like everything else. It's in pieces. You got to build it. You got to piece it together. God's provision comes in pieces. Jesus moves away from the picture of perfection, and he uses broken people to build his church. And aren't you glad that God does not pick people the way that we pick people? You take one piece away from something that I've got going on or that you've got going on, and what happens? Anxiety and freak out mode. Where did this go? Why is this not happening on time? Why is the boat running late, for God's sakes? I mean, just think about all the things. Perhaps the pieces could be on purpose. Why did this happen to me at the end of my year? Why did this happen to me in the beginning of my year? God will show you a picture. Then perhaps you'll understand the pieces. Oh, my gosh, that's what he was up to this whole time? You're kidding me. God says to Abraham, I love this, count the stars in the sky and the grains of sand in the ground. So, the stars are, and the sand is, so will your descendants be. Connecting Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the 12 tribes, the 12 disciples. It's interesting, yo. Jacob didn't receive a blessing right off the bat here, and he dresses himself posing to receive his blessing. Remember Jacob and Esau, right? And he dresses himself up to claw his way to a blessing that he felt he deserved with some help. And God says, I want you to have broken pieces so you can depend on each other to be complete. You're not designed to live life alone. There's a little thing I added in there. We're not designed to be alone. I want your broken pieces to be a part of somebody else's life too, and their story can come together with your story. And if you had everything inside you that you needed, you'd be unbearable. You would be. We also need a lot of different types of colored pieces. There's power in the pieces. There's provision and purpose revealed in pieces. This stained glass window, all these pieces build a wonderful picture. And you know which one I chose? Not the one with Jesus and not the one with the disciples and not the one that you would see in every church around America. Here's my stained glass window I'm choosing right here. All right? Bring it on. Dr. Bunsen and the world famous Beaker. If you've ever watched the Muppets, these guys are a trip, man. They're a trip. Beaker is so crazy, right? You're not going to find that one in a church, but that one would be on my front door right there, okay? This is my story. We do something fun together, and it works, but man, when you put it all together, it's like we're a couple of crazies here. Think about all the missing pieces that went into building Avalon Community Church. The missing pieces that you've been searching for all your life. God's been trying to give you all along as a gift. In the Old Testament, Jacob's trying to do all this junk. You know what? There was already a blessing there. And so today, I want to ask you this. What pieces do you consider missing that you need to trust God for? What are they? What ways are you trying to appear more fine and impressive than you really are? What are the things that are layered that God's trying to peel back to show you that I love you? And I love even those patterns of junk. I'll take it. I'll do something. All things work together for good. I love you in all those small pieces. See, most of us are taught this. Theologian Richard Rohr says, in order to experience God's love, we have to change to become something God can love. And the gospel teaches us that this is the experience of God's love that changes us. It's not our change that enables the love of God. It's the love of God that enables our change. Somebody say something around here. It is His love. John, if you come on up this morning and everybody stand with me this morning. We're finished. We're finished. Unless you want to go on. So God says to every backslidden person in this room, me too, every broken person, every hurting person, every complicated, convoluted person, that I am the God of you too. In fact, I already told you I was the God of Jacob. Look what he had going on. I'm the God of your dark side. I'm the God of your weak moments. I'm the God that sees you in the places where you're cracked. That song was so fun. The wound is where the light shines through. The wound is where the light shines through. Over and over, these guys are just singing that. Yeah, it is. And where it's where the light finds you, they also said. I'm so grateful for the God of Jacob. So my friends, if you're fearing that you don't have what it takes and you're not enough, you need look no further than the Old Testament for all of those names I chimed off last week. I went through all of them, man, and all the junk that they had going on in their life. You're like, but they're in the Bible. Yeah, they're in the Bible. They are in the Bible and all the junk they had. You can't judge the puzzle by looking at the small pieces. When you're in the situation, in the storm or in the boat, you can't see the big picture. You're not going to see it until you step back. Say this with me. There is something bigger than the situation. The storm. When you're in the boat. God wants to build something awesome in your life. This amazing plan of redemption is bigger than you. Can you not see the purpose? It's okay. Still worried about the small missing pieces, all the dreams, ambitions on your life, like Steph Curry, you're hoping to get in the NBA, but round choices 1 through 6 just went by, and you're like, oh, great. Starting to believe the assessments they said. You're not this, you're not that, you're too this, you're too that. God wants to build something awesome in your life, and this amazing plan of redemption is bigger than you. Notice the beauty God sees when the pieces are put together. There's more to life. There's more to you. There's more to the plan than this one piece. Bring to God all of your broken pieces. It's amazing what He can do with broken dreams. It's amazing what He can do with a broken focus, a bad experience, a bad memory. Bring all of it to God. You'll be surprised at what He can do with it. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Let's pray this morning. God, we're grateful today for Your presence in our lives and in this building. We thank You that You've added in front of us so many different pieces so that for all the generations behind us, You'll be known. You'll be experienced. The God of Abraham, our great faith, or Isaac, our great sacrifice. But You're also the God of our struggles, the God of Jacob. And we pray that this word will be spoken over our lives today and reverberate over our souls. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.